760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, welcome to the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a best-selling author. He's a philanthropist. He's a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families, all-around good guy. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right, Joe. Hey, did you drink too much coffee?
No.
I'm just wondering.
I always, I got to rush. We have a big show tonight.
Oh, you have to rush. Okay. just curious.
I still drink coffee, but I tell you, I'm still off the wheat. And folks, if you got a rash or an allergy, I swear, I've done this for 3 weeks. Get off all wheat and gluten, and but just any crackers, breads, anything. Try that for a month, and I'm trying to avoid sugars too. I don't drink any soda, as you know, Richard. But
that's good. You shouldn't.
But
it's not good for you.
But my rash cleared up, so everyone, you should know.
I was going to say, it's too much information.
And my allergies are at bay. So I'm just throwing it out there for you and yourself too, Richard. You might want to check it out for a month.
I eat very little bread for an Italian.
Well, I just think everyone should just go off of the wheat for a month and see how you feel. So, hey, let's see, NCAA. remember last week I said, I've taken one of the Michigan teams, either one, and boy, they got...
Yeah, where'd you take them, Joe?
They were gone by the time I think I got off the air, but... and then, of course, everyone kind of liked Florida.
UConn was unbelievable after trailing by 12. They just rolled over Florida.
Yeah, so that's not – maybe you kind of have to favor UConn at this point. Who knows?
Who knows?
No one won the billion, right?
Nobody won the billion.
Anyway, I know we had a show a few weeks ago about the gentleman involving healthcare, and I just want everyone to know there are physicians out there that still want to try for a universal healthcare plan, and there's a group called the Drive for Universal Healthcare, and if you go to duh4all.org, there's information there about they're going to be showing a film called The Healthcare Movie based on the Canadian model, and that's going to be at UCSD's Price Center Ballroom B. But all the information is there, and that's going to be April 10th and 11th, I believe, 11 and 12, and that's a Saturday, Sunday, both I think about 3:30 in the afternoon. And then there's the Stars and Stripes Ball for the USO, sandiego.org. Go there. That's coming up in a few weeks, and I told Rena I would mention that as well because that's another good cause. We have the impressive another journalist in town who's got quite a reputation. You can get any of his papers at any of the close to 400 coffee houses in San Diego. It's one of the old-fashioned, very large papers, and he's the editor and publisher of The Espresso, and his name is John Rippo. So, John, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Joe.
So good to see you again.
Thank you.
Boy, a lot to talk about. I know you mentioned there was an opera about coffee itself, didn't you?
That's right. Shannon Wheeler has written an opera called, I think, Too Much Coffee Man, which is named after his cartoon strip, which it should be at the San Diego Opera. It's a wonderful opera. It's all about the anxieties of modern life. And we're all there.
Have you heard the music? Good music?
We did a story on this, I don't know, 2-3 years ago when it came out and, mm-hmm. and it premiered. It premiered in Seattle.
So there's okay.
It
so.
Went everywhere else but San Diego.
They had no chance here. That's no chance.
Not anymore. No.
Yeah, not right. anymore either.
Well, maybe we should do something about that. So, but anyway, I thought a nice segue from the snafu of the opera to the controversy surrounding the Balboa Park Centennial.
Can we do anything right in San Diego?
just one after the other.
And the Padres lost their fourth in a row, and it's only five games into the season.
Yeah. And they don't have anything to do with the opera either.
No, but they got 8 runs in 5 games.
So. But anyway, talk about it. Having a lot of time. I think this committee was formed, I think around 06 or 05 maybe, right? The Balboa Park Centennial Committee.
Yeah,
and,
I think it was 06.
We're given 2.6 or 2.8 million. I think a million of that came from the TMD, Tourism Marketing District. And I think the rest must have come from the city budget, right? Our budget.
I think
our public funds.
Right.
And the whole thing's gone sideways. They've dissolved, and now it's back in the city's court. And I think, it's interesting now. There's $2 million more that the TMD is supposed to invest in the centennial events, and now I'm hearing that that may not happen. But do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, the question is, who's going to invest what in doing what?
Yeah.
And what is going to happen? It's getting kind of down to the wire, and there's not really much to show for it now, is there?
Yeah. So. You would have thought that, I mean, I don't know what exact date is the 100th anniversary of Balboa Park, but say we're going to have one centerpiece event. You know, this is the ribbon cutting or whatever to celebrate the exact 100th year and have your bands or whatever you're going to do. But no one ever got a vision of that.
No, no.
Well, don't you just buy some balloons and bunting?
Parade the animals from the zoo. You know.
So I don't know. I mean, and then now we're talking about having the Olympics here. We can't even throw a party for Balboa Park. How are we going to host the Olympics? I mean, that's interesting, but... Anyway, John, you deal with the coffee house culture. We can get back to this later if we'd like. But you said there's some trends in China. I know the UT did a big story about having some kind of coffee house content in the paper, and I don't know if that's...
Well, yes, the Union Trib rediscovered the coffee houses and the rise of coffee culture in San Diego, which was a great thing, and they had a... talented writer named Roxana Popescu do a piece on that, which was which was quite good, and she generously quoted me and some thoughts about coffee culture in San Diego, which are positive, and it's going well. It's going well. It's going to grow. There's an entirely new young generation of people out there doing things and making it happen, and the direction is good. The direction is very good.
And there's about how many coffee houses in San Diego?
434.
Oh, my.
Independence. Wow. That's not Starbucks.
There's going to be 435 because every day there seems to be one popping up on a corner.
We should be so lucky. We should, San Diego has a million, what is it, a million two?
Something like that.
Yeah, and only 435 independent places. So we could use a lot more of them.
So that doesn't count the chains?
That doesn't count the chains. That's not Starbucks.
Wow.
Now, Starbucks, by the way,
yeah,
closed more outlets in San Diego than any other city in the United States.
Well, that's bizarre. Why do you think that is?
They weren't doing so hot.
I feel another coffee opera coming. Well, some of them are. Obviously, they retain the ones that are doing fairly well. And
actually, not all of them. No,
really?
No. The one in OB is notoriously slow.
Okay.
Slow. Very slow. And that's because people, the locals don't go there. Or not very many of them go there.
And how about on Adams Avenue, Normal Heights, you've got Lestat's is always packed, and then the Starbucks, which they did do a nice rehab on that building on the opposite the catty corner, but doesn't seem to have the same kind of traffic.
I don't think so. I think they get them in the morning.
Yeah, and Kensington does have a nice spot, though. I mean, there's the building is nice, and
yeah, there's
and the one in Bird Rock is kind of nice too.
Yeah, well, that's true.
As far as you know,
they're pretty.
Look, personally, I don't really like their coffee that much. It's too strong. And Richard doesn't drink coffee
I've never tasted coffee in my lifetime.
Yeah.
So I go to coffee houses and buy apple juice.
Or get tea is better for you, probably. Tea. Green tea.
Probably.
Yeah, green tea. More caffeine in the green tea.
Well, I don't drink tea either.
Oh, okay. Well,
That's safe. Right.
You don't drink tea. I don't consume caffeine if I can help it.
Huh.
I've got enough energy without it.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
But so what are some of these trends and developments going on in the coffee culture now that, you may not have seen a few years ago? Anything new?
Yeah. Actually, it's kind of exciting. There are some new small batch roasters in San Diego. Dark Horse is one of them. The Coffee Collective is another. Young people, hands-on kinds of work, doing very, very good work here in San Diego, and very committed to fair trade, shade-grown, organic coffees, first-class coffees in every particular. And these people are innovative. They're experimental. They're doing a new take on an old trade, and it's paying off for them.
It's kind of like what's going on in the craft brew industry here. I mean,
There are a lot of parallels.
Getting more sophisticated in that regard as well. So, now Dark Horse and Coffee Collective. Now, is that the name of the coffee house and the roaster?
Yeah, Dark Horse is on Adams Avenue somewhere, not far from Lestat's, actually, a couple of blocks down from Felton.
A little bit west, okay.
Right, west of
Lestat. And Coffee Collective?
They are on, El Cajon Boulevard between Kansas and 30th Street.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I was in. Is that near the Digital Arts Media Center?
Yeah, right next door to it.
They do a lot of the pour-over coffees, right?
Yeah, so that's kind of...
Those are pretty good. I got to put a plug in for Tender Greens, too. I love their coffee. Right. They do the... they call Coyote Coffee, I guess.
Coyote Coffee. I think they get theirs from Virtuoso, yeah. I think.
But that's, folks, wrong. That's when they make it by the cup, you know, which is... you're not going to get a much better coffee than that, I don't think.
As fresh as it can be.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very much so. But so you're seeing a greater trend toward the coffee that, you know... With the, not the free trade, did you see more of that now? Or
well, it's finally getting better known. Room. Actually, San Diego was the first city in the United States to adopt itself as a fair trade coffee.
Fair trade, that's what I meant.
Yeah, right. And that was brought about by Karen Sobreros, I think, in 1995, who ran Elan Organic Coffee. She's now the CEO of Inter-American. Still here, still doing wonderful work all these years later. Mm-hmm. And working with Muhammad Yunus at the Grameen Bank to bring about more micro-lending, mainly to women in the rest of the world. And
that's become big business, hasn't it, Richard, the micro-lending?
It's huge. Oh, it's huge.
I mean, yeah, huge. One guy got a Nobel Prize, and now everybody's in the...
Well, it works.
Yeah, crowdsourcing, micro-lending. I mean, it's amazing. It works.
The micro-lending has something like a 93 or 94% repayment rate. Hmm. And it gets a lot of people up from poverty elsewhere throughout the world, mostly women, which is what they focus on. They start some very small businesses, which tend to grow rapidly.
Interesting.
And yeah, it works.
Let's come back with that. We got to take a break right now. I'll come right back with more. It's Your Money and Your Life right after this.
AM 760. Now, it's Your Money and Your Life on AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we've had a bonanza of information. How's that for a segue tonight? We're back with John Rippo, editor and publisher of The Espresso. And you want to have some concluding thoughts about micro-lending, and then Richard has some information about Boa Park, too. So, but
coffee is changing the world. Coffee is changing the world, you know, a dollar at a time. And they're raising money out of growing coffee, and they're loaning it out to other people. It'll change economies all over the planet. And you literally get to change the world every time you drink a cup of coffee, if you drink the right coffee. So,
do we have a climate here that's conducive to growing coffee?
Actually, you could grow coffee in San Diego.
You're kidding.
Yeah,
is anybody doing it?
Not commercially, no. But the coffee trees that I used to have did wonderfully well here. And in the mountain, the mountain regions would be good for coffee. Mm-hmm. It's within the weather belts of you know, the latitude.
Because you need don't you need like near the equator in the mountains or something like
you,
that?
You need elevation. You need elevation, and San Diego is kind of at the northern end of coffee growing climates, but it would work here.
Yeah, interesting. I remember Mrs. Olson talking about that on the commercials. I forget the brand or whatever, but Richard, the Balboa Park
12/31/14 is officially the start.
1914.
Of the
1914, so 20.
So we got 8 months. That's plenty of time.
mm-hmm. No,
we got 2 weeks for the opera, 8 months for the centennial.
So I could see what happened.
You know, we got plenty of time for both.
Mr. Gloria called Mrs. December Nights and said, hey, can you add a little ribbon cutting in the middle of your ceremony
Some
there?
Some balloons.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, boy. Anyway, it's a great park. It's too big. I just hope there's something memorable that, you know, happens for the 100th anniversary. We'll see. But
I'll bring some sparklers. Sorry.
Bottle rockets.
Oh, wait, that's illegal.
Maybe you should move SeaWorld to Balboa Park for the year or something.
What did DeMaio do in the fountain? Anyway, I don't want to know.
You know, Laurie Saldana had a great idea for a celebration of the park, and she wanted to bring all the world's green and modern and forward-thinking technology to Balboa Park for a year display, and to really get people excited about living lives differently and having different things and using energy and everything else.
Well, they're doing that a little bit. I know on top of the Fleet Science Center, it's all solar panels up there, and they have the monitor inside. You can see how much the sun is generating electricity-wise just for that structure. But, you know, you're right, in terms of water and everything else.
Or maybe the opera should do a flash dance, so to speak, just so that we could maybe sort of make this thing relevant to the general population.
There we go.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, 100 years ago, Balboa Park Centennial was a coming out party for San Diego. Mm-hmm. It also showcased what the hoped for kind of trades would be.
Well, I guess after the canal, the idea right. was to tout us as a port
right.
For a lot of that commerce coming up the
absolutely.
The,
and it was a showcase to, it was a showcase to show the world that would come. And of course, that got sidetracked. World War I happened, and San Diego lost that war. And all the changes that came to San Diego followed, and things went on. But yeah, that concept is still relevant today.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking the other day, war really built up our economy here too, in terms of the Air Force and the Navy obviously increased our
yeah.
presence here, and
yes, it did.
Navy flyers and all that, and the aviation. We're the birth of aviation, for God's sake. You know, most people do not know this, but Lindbergh took off right where the main post office is on Midway. That's where
he bought a couple of stamps, and away he went.
He must be on a stamp, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's on a stamp.
But you know, little trivia here. Lindbergh flew from obviously New York to Paris. Well, here to St. Louis to New York, and then New York to Paris, but. His average speed was, guess what, Richard?
52.
No, 100 miles an hour. His average altitude was, guess what?
Oh, I don't know, 1,500 feet?
300.
300 feet?
He wanted to be...
Well, there were no high-rises.
He wanted to... Well, over the ocean. He wanted
over
to be low
ocean.
Enough to yeah. see... He was flying by dead reckoning.
Right.
He wanted to be low enough to see what the waves were doing.
No, he wanted to see what the wind was doing on the waves so he
yeah.
could correct his drift,
yeah.
which is very important.
And that's something.
Very important.
Wow. And this guy was, you know...
He didn't want to fly to Portugal. He wanted to hit Paris. Yeah. You know,
there is the only flying replica of Spirit of St. Louis that hangs in the lobby of the Air and Space Museum. So if you haven't been down there to see that, you should. Now, John, you wanted to talk about the cross-border coffee culture
yeah.
and how that's developing, because that seems to be getting important.
Well, you know, we found 50 coffee houses out of, God only knows how many of them are in TJ, but we found 50 of them, and we're bringing newspapers and everything else to these cafes.
Hmm.
And we found printing houses and theaters and bookstores and all this stuff.
You have to do it in Spanish or English or both?
Both.
Really? Okay.
Both.
Okay.
And there are coffee roasters and wonderful, wonderful little cafes that do things that nobody else does.
Huh, like what?
Well, there's a place called Café Sospeso in Tijuana that roasts its own coffee beans. It has a very pure way of showcasing its coffee. They don't offer any dairy coffee. They offer all these different kinds of beans. You can walk in and order any kind of bean that you want, have it done in a filter cup or a pour over for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a place to taste coffee.
In Mexico, you can grow coffee down there, right? I mean,
yes, they do.
I mean, much
they
better.
Grow a lot of things down there.
yes, they do. But we found places where live theater happens, 24/7. We discovered one place with a letterpress over it that prints its own books the old-fashioned way.
Wait a minute, live theater 24/7.
Well, maybe not 24/7. Yeah,
are we talking?
Yeah, I lied.
Okay.
I lied. It wasn't 24/7. But
it's constant theater.
Constant theater.
The season never ends. It just keeps.
The season never ends, and there's always something going on. And San Diego's coffee trade has always been unique. The presentation has been unique. It's not like anybody else's trade in the United States, and that's because the public is different here.
God, you know, I saw something the other night where they were using some kind of a blowtorch or whatever to make the heat to call. You know, you're right. It is a whole presentation thing down there.
Yes, right? it is.
Especially for the high-end kind of...
Yes, it is. And what is happening is the Mexican sensibility is coming here. And that has some important differences between how things work here. I mean, Starbucks is going to be a holdout in San Diego because over time we are going to see a cross-border, binational kind of take on coffee. I mean, it's not going to morph into something completely different, but it'll be its own little. Way of doing things, and it'll be very
You're
interesting.
Right. Instead of your power lunch, let's go have a power coffee. You know,
yeah, it could be.
I like that. That could possibly happen.
There's a chain called De Volada that exists throughout Mexico, but it also has a few outlets here in San Diego, mostly in South Bay.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting to see what they do. It's kind of a Mexican take on Starbucks with a lot of significant differences. And many of the little kids who live in Otay Lakes and Chula Vista go there after school, do their homework. I mean, they're processing a new generation all on hot chocolate.
That's great. John Rippo, thank you so much for being guest. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
John Bowder, thanks for calling in from Colorado while watching Wisconsin.
Yes, and his Badgers are up by 3, so go Badgers. And anyway, thank you to Justin Hart, our sound engineer, who always makes us sound great. Thanks to Craig Belenke, our account executive. Thanks to Dave Sniff, our programming genius here at KFMB. We appreciate all the good stuff they do for us. And who do you like in the Final Four, Richard, real quick?
Well, I have no clue who's going to win now. You know, how can he vote? I mean, UConn keeps beating everybody.
I'm going UConn, I guess so. Anyway, next week, Larry Doyle, who wrote In Bed with Wall Street, and SEC attorney and whistleblower Gary Aguirre. That'll be a great show. So have a good week, everybody. Good night. We'll see you next week on It's Your Money on Your Life. IYMoney.com. Good night.